For those who don't know me, I'm Alexander Mouton from the University of Liège in Belgium, and I'm also a board member of the ISF. And talking about the ISF before starting the sessions, I would just want to remind you, if you're not aware of this, that our next conference will be held in Jyväskylä in Finland between May 13 and 17. It's not too late to register if you still want to join, and we will send the link to the conference website in the chat. So yeah, don't hesitate to go there. And it's my pleasure to introduce this session in which we'll explore the concept of physical literacy and specifically the impactful intervention across various stages of life. Just a short introduction, and then after I will leave the floor to the presenters. So you know that physical literacy is defined as the motivation, confidence, physical competence, knowledge, and understanding to value and take responsibility for engagement in physical activity for life. It advocates for a holistic and more inclusive approach, integrating physical, cognitive, affective aspect, important for all age and abilities. It's also rooted in philosophical principles like monism, existentialism, and it challenges the conventional intervention methods. And interventions with an explicit focus on PL can lead to significant effects on important outcomes, such as determinant of active lifestyle or physical activity behavior. It had gained global recognition, by example, by the UNESCO, by the World Health Organization, but there are still challenges for physical literacy. Among them, the integration of this concept in national policies, even if more and more countries have those policies in their countries. Also, its conceptualization and the need also for standardized assessment. So before starting, I will also like to say that physical literacy promotes more person-centered perspective over only physical performance. If you know the concept, you know this. And it also necessitates professionals like physical educators or exercise therapists to have the abilities to manage this physical literacy concept and to hope for a change in the population they are managing. So our session aims to dive into those challenges and opportunities with insight of experts from around the world. We'll start with Dr. Johannes Kahl. He's a postdoctoral research fellow at the Institute for Physical Activity and Nutrition, IPAN, in Deakin University. He will share about his already impressive experience and record of the studies in the field, and today especially about the effectiveness of physical literacy programs. Following Johannes, we'll have the pleasure to listen to Professor Lisa Barnett, also from Deakin, who will share her extensive expertise and more specifically today about the mapping of the effects of holistic physical literacy intervention to the Australian Physical Literacy Framework, and highlighting also the work done by Aletea Jerebin, who is a co-tutor PhD student at Deakin and Coventry University. Next, we will have Charlie Maisondet from France. He couldn't make it today, so I've recorded his presentation. He's a PhD in physical activity in the Centre Hospitalier de la Côte Basque, is in the south west of France. He's in collaboration with the University of Pau and of the Pays de la Dour. And he will talk about physical literacy with obese adolescents in a project that he developed with other colleagues, such as Joseph Gondriot, who also published in physical literacy, and he's from the University of Nice. And last but not least, it's Jean-Pierre Weertz, is one of my PhD students from the University of Liège. And I will speak about physical literacy interventions in chronic disease patients. So each presentation will last 10 minutes, sorry, not too short. It will be followed by a 15 minutes Q&A session that will be led and shared by Professor João Martin from the University of Lisbon and myself. So we encourage you to ask questions in the chat during the presentation. And then after, we will just share those questions with everybody. And you can also provide more questions online if we have time. So let's begin with Johannes and explore the state of the art of physical literacy intervention. So Johannes, when you're ready, the virtual floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you very much, Alexandra, for the introduction. I hope I can use this f virtual floor productively. I still have to mention that Alexandra is currently also in Melbourne, and this is where we met and really started collaborating on. And he asked me to give an introduction into the field of physical literacy interventions. And I have to say, this is a selective perspective of my work, and also Clemens Töpfer, who is also in this round, who has contributed significantly. And yeah, I think Lisa will follow on with a most Australian-centered perspective. Yeah, the f effectiveness of physical literacy interventions. I'm coming more from a health perspective, or from the area of health education in sport. And what we often recognize is that we, as coaches, therapists, physical education teachers, we try to supervise our clients, pupils, however you call them, patients also sometimes. We try to follow them closely. And in the short term, we are often very successful in triggering those effects that we want to achieve, which means adaptations are undertaken, physical fitness. The people hopefully are more physically active. They get a better understanding of the physical activities that they should be involved into. But very frequently, after this short intervention time, when you're working as a physical education teacher, or when you're a physiotherapist, something like that, there is a sudden cutoff. You don't have those people anymore, don't have them under control, if you want to say that anymore. And afterwards, they're left on their own. You can also say they must self-organize physical activities, and then it's often a question mark. Now, we have here a study by James Rimmer, who has drawn three different scenarios of how it's going on afterwards. People in scenario A may draw on the momentum, can continue on their positive way that they have started at the beginning, and you can call this a sustainable effect of physical activity. There is scenario B, people leaving your intervention, and afterwards the level that they have acquired, for example, enhanced fitness, higher physical education, physical activity levels, they could maintain that. Now the level fluctuates around the level they had previously, but you can also call this a sustainable effect. Or you have scenario C, and unfortunately we see that most frequently, this is why the line is bold here, that often those enhanced qualifications go back to the level that they had before your intervention. And the question mark is, how can we structure the interventions at the phase where we still have access to the participants, to the pupils, and so on? And my hypothesis is that we do not create this in these interventions in a fashion that these qualifications are long-lasting. You have a German pedagogue or a philosopher, it's rather a pedagogue, Heinrich Pestalozzi, who briefly summarized that actually education or qualifications somehow address your heart, so they somehow address your body and your mind simultaneously. But we don't really have these concepts, and physical literacy indeed offers one of these opportunity. I have to say once again, Alexandre has introduced that there is no global consensus. And we have that Australian framework, for example, which prominently placed also the social aspect behind. You have, for example, New Zealand, which brought a spiritual element into play. China has released their understanding last year of, for example, a sensory perceptual component, which is outstanding. So, a lot of traditions, a lot of cultures, and a lot of frameworks. We also have the International Physical Literacy Association, where we could say that's the core of the definitions with the motivation and confidence. It has a more of a effective psychological domain with the physical competence, a physical domain, and knowledge and understanding, a cognitive domain to value and take responsibility for the final engagement, physical activities for life. So these are the common components that every definition has in common. I can also not neglect actually the design component. Lisa will follow on with that afterwards. I just wanted to tell you most interventions were made in the field of children and adolescents, older adults. There were actually no studies that we could find. Most studies were accordingly also in the physical education context, followed by the community setting, by childcare centers and the area of sport, and we could not find any intervention studies in the area of the therapy and leisure. Sorry, that's an error here at this at this point. Another important finding was that the physical competence domain was addressed most frequently in these interventions, but not so often the cognitive and the motivational, also the affective domain, which shows a sort of an uncoupling from the original concept. But I now want to go more to the effectiveness perspective than what Alexandra has desired for this presentation. Although we had quality concerns, meaning, as I said, between the concept and how the design was made, we found very promising effects in the area of the effectiveness of these interventions. We had in total 48 studies included, but only 21 had a control group and had a quantitative measure. Or 24 studies. 21 of those 24 studies had a physical indicator, and we found huge effect sizes which were significant. We also differentiated by the group of outcomes, demonstrating that there is a variety behind this effect, behind the effect sizes. For example, fundamental movement skills had a by far higher effect size with almost 1.30. Everybody who is in the area of psychometric knows that this is a huge intervention effect. On the other hand, the more technical, the more physiological and fitness related aspects, there were smaller effect size around 0.21 for cardiovascular fitness and for strength indicators 0.40. So of course technical parameters, fundamental movement skills could obviously be promoted more easily, but which I can understand given the physiological centeredness of or fitness and of strength. We found also an effect in the area of motivation and confidence. 14 studies have analyzed this with a small to moderate effect. We found also positive effects for the cognitive domain for knowledge and understanding with a moderate effect of 0.54, also significant. Interesting is here maybe if we differentiate between indicators of objective knowledge, then we had an effect size of 0.78, but with a huge variety. And on the other hand, we had indicators which could be assigned to subjective understanding attitude. I think that's a differentiation in the area of knowledge and understanding that you're absolutely familiar with. But obviously, the more objective knowledge, if we provide that, then you can obviously see a better progress. But the subjective relation of yourself in terms of physical activity, health, in sport has a lower effect, but it was nevertheless significant. That from my perspective as a physical activity promoter, very promising is that we could also find a significant effect on the behavioral level. So obviously when we're talking about concepts that bring people to an active lifestyle, this appears promising and with an effect of 0.39. There are also some physical literacy aggregate scores, which can be conceptually debated, I have to admit, but we nevertheless formed also this dimension. And here we find a moderate to high effect size of 0.61. So this was a short run through the intervention landscape. I was recommended to report something about the current status. Nevertheless, I want to make some reflection on where could the field also go. So my summary is actually that the intervention quality that we find was rather low, whereas the effectiveness was already quite promising. But where could the field develop now? What we do not know yet is how these interventions, what decisive program parameters are. When we go to behavioral change literature, there is a very nice phrase which is called the active ingredients. So which are the decisive program promoters which really create the higher effects? We don't know that so far. We need there other techniques, something like meta regression moderator paradigms in the area of meta analysis to find that out. The power was not sufficient so far to do that in our analysis, which was 1.5 years ago. Nevertheless, I found a meta-analysis which contrasts theories or the components to physical activity. For example, this meta-analysis found that if interventions only address one or two components, that physical activity interventions had an effect size of 0.20, so rather a lower effect, whereas whereas interventions which included three or more components had an effect size of 0.48, which is substantial and significant. And this is where physical literacy comes into play, because if we have at least three different domains, or four, if we take, for example, the Australian framework, and if we transfer it to this study, for example, this gives a rationale why physical literacy might be so promising. But as I said, there are still question marks behind. Unfortunately, we can also not give age-specific recommendations, whether these are effective in children or contrasting with adults. That's a way that we should still go. And another point that that has to be mentioned, indeed, the reporting of basic information can still be improved. In interventions, we found few in information about the length, the duration, the frequency, the intensity, or the actual deliverer in the end. This could still be improved. And this is my last line. What we indeed suggest in the end is a physical literacy interventions reporting template that helps the designers of these interventions to guide better through the process of intervention conceptualization and effectiveness. We make recommendations regarding the title, regarding the background, definition, the assessments, the design and content, the evaluation, and even the discussion and conclusion. We invite those who want to make something in the area of physical literacy to look into that work, because this may give us a better overview what we should consider for interventions and their completed, their full information. Yeah, I think 10 minutes, it's complete now, Alexandra. I hope
Thank you very much for your presentation and for this clear and broad overview about physical literacy interventions. It's pretty promising. And now I will leave the floor to Lisa. We'll, like you said, provide more an Austrian perspective. So Lisa, when you are ready, I see that you already jump on it and then you just share a screen. So you are ready. We can go ahead. Thanks.
I'm ready. All right. Thanks very much, Johannes. Thanks, Alexandra. I don't think I've got an Australian perspective, actually, but we'll see how we go. So these are Alethea's slides. Alethea led this review. It was a commissioned review from the Australian Sports Commission project that I was leading, and this is just one aspect of it. And we're focusing on school-based interventions and physical literacy. So our particular purpose was we wanted to find school-based interventions to see whether they increased children's physical literacy and any other outcomes. And we were particularly interested in interventions that adopted a holistic conceptualization of physical literacy. So we used the Australian framework for this, which I guess is why we've been termed as being Australian. But actually, I'm not seeing it like that. I'm just seeing it as a holistic perspective that just happened to use the Australian framework. So I'm not going to go into this. It's just, you might have seen it before, the Australian framework, number of elements, and the physical, psychological, social, and cognitive. So that's what we were really interested in for this review. I don't want to go too detailed into methods. It's up there. We searched a number of databases, but the key point here is that their intervention needed to have assessed either quantitatively or qualitatively at least three of the APLF domains. So it didn't have to have four, but it had to have at least three to be included into this review. So we ended up including 12 interventions. Most were from Canada, and there was one each from a number of other countries. Like what Johannes found, most were physical education. There was a mixture of randomized trials, not randomized controlled trials, and we also did include qualitative data collection methods as well. So that features here too. In terms of how well they aligned with our holistic physical literacy definition, you can see the physical literacy definition that the different studies had over here on the left. 11 of the 12 targeted the physical domain. The affective domain was the next highest, followed by the cognitive, and probably not so much of a surprise that fewer interventions targeted the social aspect. In terms of alignment, We said it was a strong alignment if there was right throughout the conceptualization of the study, the measurement, you know, the whole process, if that was aligned with their theory, we called that strong. If there was bits of alignment throughout, that might be moderate. And if there wasn't really much connection, we called that weak. In terms of physical literacy assessment tools, you can see here there was a number of different tools, and with the qualitative designs, different methods, focus groups, and interviews. For the data synthesis, we couldn't do a meta-analysis with the data that we had. So what we did is we looked at the tests, and if there were, you know, we looked at the number of tests in the direction that we hypothesized, and if there were less than 35% of those that found a significant improvement in the way that we would expect to find it, then we classified that as no evidence. If there was between 35 to 59%, we said that was mixed evidence. Above 60%, we said it was positive. And if there were more than four studies that found that, so not just the tests, but also more than four studies, then we gave it a double positive. We also looked at these in terms of the controlled designs and the uncontrolled designs, because if it was an RCT or it had a control group, we considered that to be stronger evidence than if it was an uncontrolled design. And we also looked at the qualitative findings. So in terms of total physical literacy, in terms of our results, for those that used some sort of control group, we found mixed evidence. For the uncontrolled interventions, we found a positive level with two of three tests, but considering the controlled interventions are better evidence, still overall that's not really, when we put both of those together, it's not looking very much like much evidence. In terms of the physical domain, similar to what Johannes found, 10 of 15 tests were in the expected direction and there were more than four studies. So we considered that a strong positive relationship or finding. With the uncontrolled interventions, that was mixed finding. And qualitative findings also sort of confirmed that movement skills and endurance and strength did improve. So these findings do mirror the findings that Johannes just reported. In terms of the psychological or affective domain, we found no evidence with the controlled interventions and only kind of uncertain mixed evidence with the uncontrolled interventions. However, the qualitative findings did support that there was improvements, so, but the quantitative findings didn't back that up. For the cognitive domain, we found no evidence for the controlled interventions and positive evidence for the uncontrolled interventions. And the qualitative findings supported that there was a change, but again, it's not, it's only supported with the uncontrolled quantitative findings. For the social domain, there was hardly anyone. There was nothing in the controlled interventions and no evidence in the uncontrolled. For the qualitative, all of those findings supported change. In terms of physical activity as a behavioral domain, there was no evidence in either the controlled or the uncontrolled interventions, but the qualitative findings supported that there was a change, but that wasn't backed up with the quantitative findings. There was no evidence for other outcomes in these particular interventions included. So one study did look at cognitive performance, but there was no evidence for that. So in summary, for the quantitative outcomes, there was mixed evidence for physical literacy interventions improving total physical literacy. There was positive evidence for the physical components, mixed evidence or uncertain evidence for the affective and cognitive domains, and no support for improving the social domain, even though the qualitative findings indicated perceived benefits across all the domains. So our overall picture is quite different actually to Johannes's, but remember we're focusing on children and his was much broader. And ours is, so our actual studies that we've included probably have very little overlap to Johannes's review, I'm imagining. And yeah, the methods were quite different as well, and we're also mapping it to a different framework. So our conclusion is that potentially holistic interventions can impact the physical domains, but we really need interventions to be developed that aim to improve all the facets of physical literacy, and we haven't really found the evidence for that, and especially interventions to be designed that look at the social domain and aim to change that and aspects of the affective and cognitive.
So good morning from Belgium, everyone. I am Jean-Pierre Wertz, and I am an assistant and a PhD student in the Department of Physical Activity and Rehabilitation Science at the University of Liège. And I'm gonna speak to you today about physical literacy intervention in chronic disease patients. So first, we have already discussed extensively the concept of physical literacy in present presentation, and thank you very much to those presenters. So I will just have a word, as that was mentioned already, about the lack of both physical literacy assessment tools and physical literacy interventions for adults in the literature. Indeed, the physical literacy concept is mainly investigated for children and thus in a school environment. Only to our knowledge, two interventions were taking place by Ohlers and his team in Austria in 2019 and 2021, and they were focusing on a physically inactive adult population. And also only two recently validated instruments for adults, the PPLE from Liu and his team in 2022 from China, and the PPLQ from Ohlers and his team recently in 2023 in Austria, although I'm aware that one tool is in development in Australia, the Physical Literacy Adult Survey. What about for a population of adults with chronic disease? As Cornish and his team mentioned in 2020, the concept of physical literacy is not well established in the context of health. Those observations led us to our objective, which is to explore the effects of a physical literacy intervention in chronic disease participants by performing a non-randomized control study with adults with chronic disease who are members of medical centers here in Belgium. So in terms of the organization, participants received a consultation with a physical activity specialist in a medical center. That physical activity specialist was a PhD student with a master in physical education, and she had two qualifications related to our study, or at least to the field, one in motivational interviewing technique and one in adapted physical activity. And we reached a partnership with three medical centers in the Liège area. Just to explain a little bit the concept of medical centers here in Belgium, it takes in charge the patient's care as a whole, so usually including doctors, physio, nurses, sometimes even psychologists. And to cover the cost of this care, it concludes an agreement with insurance organizations. And for our study, the cost of the PA specialist was also taken care of by the insurance. Because of the lack of validated tools for an adult population, specifically for an adult population with chronic disease at the start of this study, we developed our own assessment tool consisting of a 40 items questionnaire representing three of the four interconnected domains that were precedently mentioned of the Australian Physical Literacy Framework. Those three domains were the cognitive, the social, and the psychological domains. And for the physical domains of physical literacy, we decided to choose four simple physical tests, which are the sit and reach for flexibility, the 30-second sit to stand for lower body strength, the one leg balance test for balance, and the Ruffier-Dixon test for endurance. And each domain accounted for 25% of the overall physical literacy score, to not prioritize one domain compared to another. In terms of the timeline, first, the PL intervention was promoted by doctors, physiotherapists, or nurses of the medical centers, and they were referring those participants, those patients interested, to the physical activity specialist for an appointment that was scheduled with the PA specialist. This appointment was 1 hour 15 minutes consultation that included both a PL assessment of about 30 minutes, followed directly by a physical literacy counseling session. And the PL assessment was computerized, which we were able to provide instant feedback for the counseling part of the meeting. And about 2 months later, a follow-up assessment was taking place with the same physical activity specialist. That was the timeline for our experimental group. The difference with the control group was that the PL assessment was not followed by the counseling part of the meeting. Let's focus a little bit of the counseling part of meeting. As I said, everything was computerized, so we were giving instant feedback to the participants. And the feedback was very easy to visualize for the participants, including, as you see on the right-hand side of the page, Kvyat diagrams. And also that counseling part was including discussion regarding PA, for instance, WHO recommendations about PA. It was including also some link with resources of physical activity in the area, such as adapted physical activity sessions that were taking place, or outdoor equipment such as cycling paths, swimming pool, and so on. As I said, the PA specialist was had a certificate in motivational interviewing technique. So she was trying for the participant to participate actively to his behavioral change. And at the end of the session, they were setting together smart individual goals to be followed for as long as possible, of course, but they were reviewing those by a second meeting 2 months later. So in terms of results, I only presented here the mean values in this chart. It has to be noted that our control group is only 20 participants strong at this time. Those are preliminary results. And the experimental group is 44 participants strong. The year of data collection also differs from the control group to the experimental group. The age ratio was similar, same thing for the gender ratio. And it has to be noted that there was a dropout rate in the experimental group of just under 50% between the first counseling session and the follow-up assessment. We do see significant improvement when we only take the experimental group results in the dimension, the connective dimension, and the PL total score. When we compare the experimental group with the control group, we see a significant improvement for the cognitive dimension and the physical dimension. What does it lead for future direction and, of course, also discussion? We're still working on the control group numbers. We have students that are still collecting data in medical center at the moment. We are aware, and we would have liked to increase the follow-up duration. Also, because we collected qualitative interviews from stakeholders and from healthcare professional, We do know that communication in those kind of intervention with those people is very important in order to promote physical literacy programs, increase interest, and decrease the dropout rates. Using the physical literacy intervention reporting template that Carl Johannes mentioned in the first presentation, in the future, we would like to integrate physical literacy assessment and intervention into traditional adapted physical activity exercise session for chronic disease patients in the project called Citizen Moving for My Health. Another project we would like to put together is a peer intervention in a nursing home where by experience, as I also visit patients as a physio in nursing home, usually both residents and stakeholders are interested in new activity opportunities. So that's it for my presentation, and I thank you for your attention.
My name is Charline Zondé, and today I'm going to talk about physical literacy intervention for overweight and obese adolescents. To start, overweight and obesity are defined as an accumulation of body fats that presents an health risk. Especially, the pediatric overweight and obesity are diagnosed with the body mass index and IOTF cutoff, International Obesity Task Force. The overweight is diagnosed between BMI IOTF cutoff 25 and 30, and obesity is diagnosed as a BMI above the IOTF cutoff 30. In Europe, for adolescents to 10 to 19 years old, the prevalence is 26.7% in boys and 22.9% among girls. In France, 21% of adolescents are obese and overweight. Overweight and obese adolescents are less active or more inactive than their normal weight adolescents. In fact, Renstensky and collaborators showed that obese adolescents did 14.5 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity, MVPA, than normal weight adolescents. This inactive status can be explained by individual limitation due to excess body fats, as physical or and functional limitation, or psychomotivational limitation. These limitations are in interaction with an obesogenic environment. It is defined as an environment that facilitates abnormal weight gain. Increasing MVPA to improve health indicators is therefore a priority for these adolescents. The scientific literature recommends implementation of several modalities for physical activity intervention. The interventions are based on specific theoretical framework, for example, socio-ecological model, used to specific guidelines, multi-setting and multi-strategies intervention at in school, out of school, or home, a health education components, and a long-term intervention. However, the physical activity intervention in overweight and obese adolescents have limitations, such as long-term results still limited, a lack of strategy intervention based on socio-ecological model, and a systemic approach to physical activity still insufficiently developed. Physical literacy concepts can be compatible with the physical activity intervention guideline for obese and overweight adolescents because the concept is defined as the motivation, confidence, physical competencies, knowledge and understanding to value and take responsibility for engagement in physical activities for life. The physical literacy has four dimensions: physical, affective, cognitive and social. And she is based on philosophical constructs such as monism, existentialism, and phenomenology. The physical literacy is also integrated into socio-ecological model with the idea that this concept enables individuals to interact with their environments. Physical literacy is also associated with health indicators. Physical activity indicators such as low physical activity and moderate to vigorous physical activity. Physical health indicators such as cardiorespiratory fitness, physical fitness or Z-score BMI and body composition. And psychological and social health indicators such as motivation to physical activity or well-being. However, all physical activity, all physical literacy intervention were implanted on normal weight adolescents and no intervention in overweight and obese population. The objective of our intervention is to develop a PL intervention for overweight and obese adolescents to increase their MVPA and improve their health indicators. There were several hypotheses: increased level of physical literacy, improved health indicators, such as body composition and cardiorespiratory fitness, and increased MVPA. This study was prospective, single-arm, and not randomized. The intervention took place from September 2021 to December 2022 in a middle school in Bayonne, in southwest of France. 14 adolescents were included in this study with a mean BMI of 26.6. All adolescents were overweight or obese. This slide shows the different modalities to physical literacy intervention, Capacité 64. All modalities have developed the four dimensions of physical literacy: physical, cognitive, affective, and social dimension. And these modalities have made it possible to take action at several levels of the socio-ecological model. To describe, the different modalities were adapted exercise 3 hours per week, to develop motor skills and use of behavior change strategies, tools to promote physical activity at home, continuity of physical activity with an association, specific physical activity education session with parents, and physical activity education training to teaching team. We measured the effect of the intervention using several tools. For weight stature, we used BMI and BMI Z-score. For body composition, we used impedance metry with tool Tanita. For cardiorespiratory fitness, we use a test, a 20-meter walk and shuttle run test. For PI behavior, we use an accelerometer with accelerometry actigraph. And for physical literacy, we use the Canadian Assessment Physical Literacy. Concerning PL intervention Capacité 64 results, after 15 months, we found a statistically significant increase in the PL total score and the score of physical and cognitive dimension. There was no improvement in the score of affective and social dimensions. Concerning the health indicators, we found an increase in BMI Z-score, minus 0.4, and in percentage of body fats. We found an increase in percentage of free fat mass and cardiorespiratory fitness. The PL intervention had no statistically significant effects on the increase in MVPA levels, despite an increase of 8.5 minutes per day after 15 months of intervention. Given the small sample size and it is difficult to generalize our results to the entire population, it is therefore necessary to interpret them in our specific context and for our population. The PL intervention, Capacité 64, improved the long-term PA levels of overweight and obese adolescents, despite the non-significant improvements in the affective and social dimension. PL intervention improved long-term body composition and cardiorespiratory fitness in overweight and obese adolescents. It is not easy to maintain these long-term benefits for our publics. However, our PL intervention had no significant effects on of MVPA level. There are several possible reasons for this. Difficulties in rearing the accelerometer and the great heterogeneity of the MVPA data and the small sample size, and the difficulty of obtaining a behavioral change in this population. Capacité 64 had some limitation or limits, small sample size, overrepresentation of boys, no control group, Canadian assessment physical literacy with its limitation, such as physical dimension better represented, and action aimed at parents difficult to implement. I would like to conclude my presentation with take-home messages to physical literacy intervention for pediatric obesity. Need for multi-strategy and multi-level intervention. The importance of integrated holistic physical literacy development for long-term physical activity participation. Physical literacy can be the only strategy for physical activity treatments of overweight and obese adolescents. The possibility of intervention in a living environment for these adolescents. Acceptance of an individual physical literacy and physical activity pathway for our adolescents. An interest in earlier identification and orientation, for example, in elementary school, and identifying effective modalities for targeting parents. And thank you for your attention.
We have now a bit less than 10 minutes. We are still okay for questions from the people here in the room. I'll just have a look at the chat if there were already questions, and if there are some questions, maybe Joao, you can just raise those questions, or if the people can also ask those questions by themselves, it's also possible.
I'm João Martins from University of Lisbon. Thank you, Johannes, Lisa, Charlie, and Jean-Pierre for your great presentations about physical literacy interventions. So we have one question from Menno. Menno says he's not a physical literacy expert, but an expert that I always find a bit puzzling about this concept is that physically aspects align almost perfectly with curricular physical education goals. So the question, PE is often part of physical literacy interventions for children and adolescents, which seems logical. However, here in Netherlands, I sometimes get the feeling that physical literacy also regarded as a desired outcome for PE. How do the presenters see this, the connection between physical literacy and the main outcomes of physical education? What could physical literacy as a concept bring to physical education? How could PE benefit from this concept? Or should we only see this the other way around? Physical education could help developing physical literacy. Great question, Menno. I leave this question to the presenters.
I would say very often we have similar concepts, as he has already mentioned. For example, I think he comes from Finland. We have there often something like movement identity or sport identity, or you have other concepts. For example, you have in physical education, you have a typical debate, is physical education, is it the process or the outcome? That's a typical question where we don't have a consistent answer yet. And I would say in the area of physical literacy, we actually have the same. You can say it must be an outcome of physical education to have physically literate individuals. But then the question is also, if we declare that as an outcome, that it makes sense on the content level that we address these qualifications that lead us in the long term to a physically literate individual. So I would say what we have in the area of physical education around the concept is the same for physical literacy. Yeah, and we can use that somehow for both. That's what I have made the experience that sometimes it's strictly used as the way of delivering it, the content, or sometimes it's to describe the outcome. I consider physical literacy as a good heuristic framework where you have a sort of a freedom behind to say, how can we then target the social qualifications, the physical, the affective, and cognitive? Yeah.
We can go to the other question. I think that the next one was from Aria. Thank you for the presentation. Aria said that because there seems to be a variation in possible effect in different dimensions, you raised those points to all of you. What all of you think that is a reason for that, or those differences, because their interventions are not balanced or including equal amount activities and support in each domain. So what are your rational or explanation about those differences in the different dimensions? Could also be linked to the measurements, sensitivity or measurement. So yeah.
I think you're right, Aria, with all those aspects. I don't think the interventions are balanced. I think they predominantly focus on the physical, and within the physical, they focus on fundamental movement skills. And we know we can improve fundamental movement skills. If we practice movement skills, we improve them. So it's not news. It's not that interesting, I don't think. And I think the other aspect is measurement. Like you said, we're not sure enough about our measures. They're not sensitive enough. And also some of the other aspects, yeah, they're more nebulous and hard to pin down and harder to change potentially as well, more less changeable. So I think you've already summarized the answer in your questions, but they're good points. And I think it also relates to, I'll just skip Christie's for a minute, but it also relates to Isaac's around, or a little bit. I mean, I think our ineffective findings in relation to the social domain was just hardly anyone had focused on it. So there just weren't the studies out there. So I'm not sure. It was not so much, it was no effect, but it wasn't so much no effect. It was more that nobody was doing it. I think that's the main issue there. So I'm not sure if people were trying to impact on it. I'm thinking out loud. There are other areas where they've tried to impact on social relationships and physical activity, for instance, through network analysis and things, and they have shown a difference. So maybe if we had a physical literacy intervention that was designed properly to cover a holistic basis and properly to target the social, we might actually find an improvement. I just don't think we're really designing interventions that well. I think we're calling them physical literacy when perhaps they're really not. They're physical activity or something different. And I'll shush and let someone else answer Christie's or another answer.
So I wanted to know more about physical literacy in the early years, and following on from Lisa's comment of, is it that we're doing it, but we're just calling it play? And is this we need to change, have a connection in terms of the language with our early years practitioners to get physical literacy from an early age? I was curious, as all the awesome talks were about children and adolescents. So what about our early years, please? Thank you.
I have something I could say to that, Christy. I think you're right, actually. I think the philosophy around early years actually aligns really well with physical literacy. It just has different language. But I think it actually potentially aligns better than what we tend to do with children and adolescents. So I think when you're talking about play and learning through different modalities, and that actually links really nicely to physical literacy. So it's possibly more a question of language, because you probably already are having a physical literacy perspective when you have a really holistic, child-centered early curriculum. That would be my response.
I can maybe add, there are indeed some intervention studies that we found that were made in the setting of childcare centers. This actually worked comparably good to my understanding. So there were no risks associated with that. By the way, also some days ago, there was published a framework about the early childhood physical literacy educator, by the way, which describes which qualifications then these persons must have in order to address the needs of the youngest in an adequate way. And it's also a nice framework they could have a look into. So there is work. In my experience, more work is done in the area of toddlers and very young children compared to older adults. Yeah.
If there's no other questions, I just would like to thank, and we are right in the timing, so it's also great that we can do this. I would like to thank again all presenters for sharing those great research with us. I would also like to thank the ISF and Cassandra for the support. I will remind you again, for those who were not in the beginning, that our next Congress is in Jyväskylä, and ARIA organized it with a great team, so it will be a great Congress in May. You have the link in the chat. And to finish, I wish you all a good 2024 year, and I hope to see you soon in ISF Connect or face-to-face in Jyväskylä. Thank you very much. Have a nice day or evening, depending when you are, and see you soon. Bye-bye.